Hello, everyone. This is Don Brennan, and the NYR Zone podcast starts right now. Welcome inside in another week's edition of the NYR Zone podcast. Once again, I am Dom Renna. It is the first episode since our last one, obviously, the trade deadline episode. Rangers have gone 3-2 in that span in five games. So let's dive right into it, looking at that span, starting on March 2nd against the Bruins. The Rangers were coming off of a loss to the Washington Capitals and continued their struggles offensively in this one. It did not come out playing well. The Bruins came out in the opening 5 minutes with plenty of chances, great scoring opportunities for Chara and Pastrnak on Henrik Lundqvist's birthday, and he was outstanding. The Rangers were not skating well, not aggressive, and the Bruins were very, 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 very strong. Outshot 9-3 in the first period. Rangers came out a little bit better in the second period, not too much better. Once again, we went scoreless after that period too. And then the third period came. The Bruins did have some momentum because they had a power play coming in, but making his return from the lineup due to injury, which we'll get into a little bit later about the Rangers' injuries, which there is a lot. Pavel Buchnevich with his first goal in a long time. He previously went down to Hartford, and down there he had, as we were talking about on the podcast last week with Kevin DeLurie, he scored two goals and an assist, and one of the goals was a game-winning goal, and he's carried that play over into to the big club. Later on in the period, after Lundqvist makes a big save, Oscar Lindberg with a beautiful move around Brandon Carlo puts the Rangers up 2-0. Then later on in the period, Brad Marchand, with a kind of a fluke goal, beats Lundqvist glove side 2-1. Final minutes of the game, Ryan McDonough, who's been a real good goalie this year, I guess is the way to put it. He's made saves in the All-Star game. He's made saves for the Rangers. Bailed Lundqvist out, made a big save. Then we got 2.2 seconds remaining. Bruce Cassidy calls a timeout. Hayes lost a faceoff, but Tory Krug fanned on the shot, allowing the Rangers to win the game 2-1. Lundqvist was outstanding, earning himself two wins closer to win number 30. And then they headed back home to face the Montreal Canadiens. And the Rangers at home this season have not been as good as they have in years past. It's simple as that. If you look at their home record, which is not really that great, their home record is 19-14-2 compared to their 24-9-0 road record. So looking at that game against the Canadiens on March 4th, it was a 4-1 loss. The Canadiens came out on top with a very good start to the game. Shea Weber's shot from the point deflected off Adam Clendenning, who had a very rough game, past Henrik Lundqvist, giving the Canadiens a 1-0 lead. The Rangers found themselves a little bit better, but then Lundqvist misplayed the puck when he was trying to find McDonough. Philip Deneau with his 21st assist of the season found Arturi Lehkonen on the right circle, who beat Lundqvist to make it 2-0. Then a few minutes later, Andrew Shaw, 3-0 on a wraparound into the empty net. This was kind of interesting because the shot prior to Shaw's shot hit Lundqvist on the mask. And I kind of think he was looking for a whistle from the referee. Never got it. So then he made a save in the shoulder, and he goes down, and he can't find the rebound. So, and he could have. It looks like to me he was shaken up a little bit. Didn't get the whistle. Andrew Shaw put the puck behind the net. Rangers down 3-0 after two. Then came the second period. Chris Kreider got the rebound. 24th goal of the season. Kreider put the Rangers on the board 3-1. But then Jordy Benn put the nail in the coffin, giving the Rangers their fourth straight loss at home. And they've been struggling to score at home, too. We'll get into the goal struggles in a little bit, even though that they've kind of woken up a little bit. So then they headed to Tampa Bay on March 6th, Monday, March 6th, a 1-0 victory, and it was really an entertaining game to watch. Really had a playoff atmosphere to it. The Rangers recalled Tanner Glass and Steve Kampfer. Adam Clendenning was out of the lineup, and the Rangers were dealing with more injury news. And we'll, like I said, we'll get into those injuries a little bit later. Glass and Kampfer would play. Kampfer played in the game against the Capitals, looked pretty solid, and he's looked pretty good in the games that he's played since being called up. Tanner Glass came out real physical. He had a big fight. The fight lasted about a minute and 7 seconds. And everyone's, you know, I understand Tanner Glass is not going to bring you the offense that a Wayne Simmons will bring you, but he's the type of player this team needs every now and then. And I was going back and looking at some old articles from the beginning of the season, and like I did say, Tanner Glass won't have as big of an impact as he's had in the past, but I expect him to have some kind of impact on this team this season, and he's having his impact in these three games that he's played. This game, like I said, playoff atmosphere, very intense, very fun to watch. It would take overtime. Antti Raanta and Andre Vasilevskiy were outstanding. Raanta, I believe, made 38 saves. Mika Zibanejad won it in overtime after Raanta made a stop Palat on a breakaway. Then McDonough found Zibanejad on the breakaway, who converted for the game-winning goal. Rangers won it 1-0. Antti Raanta's third shutout of the season. 18th time this season where the Rangers have won a game after being defeated in the previous game. And that would set up a back-to-back against the Florida Panthers, where the Rangers' offense came alive. You could really tell that all four lines were having an impact in this one, and it was obvious. Chris Kreider scored the first goal of the game, his 25th of the season, on a beautiful deflection from former Panther and newly Ranger playing for Adam Clendenning, Steve Kampfer. Then later on, Tanner Glass, who was getting to the rebound, got to the rebound after a shot from Oscar Lindberg and put the puck in the back of the net. Glass had a goal and an assist, and he was one item away from the Gordie Howe hat trick, and it was the fight, and he didn't have a fight in that game. And out of all the players to say that got a Gordie Howe hat trick, the least one to think that would be missing something would be Tanner Glass and a goal, not the fight. Nonetheless, he did not have the fight. Rangers leading 2-0 after one. The Rangers came out very fast in the second period. Four minutes into the period, Kevin Hayes on a breakaway broke his 10-game goal drought, putting the Rangers up 3-0. Brady Shea with another assist. Then Thomas Vanek would answer back, though, about 7 minutes later. First goal is the Florida Panther, of course, against the Rangers. What else is new? Later on in the period, Nick Holden shot from the point. Big drive from the point, put New York up 4-1. And then Aaron Ekblad would bring the Panthers to within two, but would be uneventful as Pavel Buchnevich would seal it with an overtime empty net goal. Rangers won that one 5-2. Henrik Lundqvist, career win number 404, win number 30 on the season, making it 11 out of the last 12 seasons that Henrik Lundqvist has had 30 or more wins in a season, putting him in 10th place in all time, also passing Marty Brodeur as the quickest goaltender to reach 400 wins. He's been outstanding. Don't forget the season he didn't have 30 wins was the lockout shortened season where he had a little over 20. So now the Rangers continued their road trip where they've been playing very, very well. It went to play the young Carolina Hurricanes. They would do so without Lundqvist and without Rick Nash, who were both out due to injuries. And one common theme that we've been seeing over the last stretch of games was their power play not doing well. They were 1 for their last 40, 0 for their last 26, and they found themselves on a 2-minute 5-on-3 advantage. Now, you're sitting there thinking, okay, how are they going to blow this one? And They almost did. They really didn't get a lot of chances in the big part of the 5-on-3. But then they got a couple of chances. Derek Stepan, who's been struggling to score offensively, but they had a nice pass to find Chris Kreider, who scored his 26th of the season. Rangers break the power play goal drought, take a 1-0 lead. But later on in the period, turnover in the Ranger zone, Ranger killer Jeff Skinner is there, beat Antti Raanta starting for the injured Lundqvist, tied it at 1. Then later on in the period, not even later on, 29 seconds after the Skinner goal, Valentin Zaykov, in his first NHL game, got a shot on goal. Raanta stopped it. Zaykov got to the rebound. Carolina up 2-1 after 1. Cam Ward made 14 saves in the first period, stopping several chances from the Rangers there. The key theme in this game was special teams. And the Rangers found themselves on 6 power plays in 2 games. Not 2 games, 2 periods. My apologies for that. Mika Zibanejad, who is starting to turn around his season, converted on 2 of the 6 power plays. The Rangers' power play was 50% last night. Zibanejad got to the rebound, scoring their second power play of the game to tie it at 2 in the second period. And then Zibanejad got the Rangers' third goal after intercepting a pass in front of the Hurricanes net, putting the Rangers up 3-2 going into the third period. Then the third period was really a weird one, because the second period, the Rangers only allowed 4 shots on goal to the Hurricanes. And you had to have thought that the Rangers knew that Carolina was going to come out more aggressive and taking more chances in the third. And they just went into this weird, they do this all the time, but this weird type shell where Carolina just controlled play the entire period. Now, with the constant pressure, the Rangers apparently could not handle it, and Carolina found themselves on the power play. On this power play, Sebastian Aho, a very nice-looking rookie, scored his 19th and 20th goals of the season. Now, the first one was a very questionable one because the Rangers challenged that for goaltender interference. And the explanation for why this goal counted is, to me, hysterical. It's ridiculous and hysterical. But first, let's explain the play. Antti Raanta was at the top of the crease, and then he's at the top of the crease. Puck went in the net, but looking at the replay now, initially it didn't look like much. But the Carolina player standing in front, his elbow hit Ranta's head. And then the puck went by Raanta. So there's no way Raanta could have seen that puck coming. No way he could have saw it. That's goaltender interference. The review is a very quick review. I kind of figured that when the review was happening that this wasn't going to go in the Rangers' favor because there wasn't much at all. So the explanation was that Raanta was out of the blue paint. But then in Alain Vigneault's press conference, he was telling reporters that then he told the officials, well, you look at the replay, he was in the blue paint, and the Carolina player was right on top of the creeks, right in front of him, and he jerked his head. Then the explanation was that Antti's head was out of the paint and initiated the contact, which is why the goal was allowed. Absolutely pathetic. What kind of explanation is that? And you know what? Good for Alain Vigneault. He usually does not rip officials after a game, but last night he ripped them a new one. And I thought the quote that I found very, very interesting is he said, if you ask the league, they're going to spin it anyway so they look all right, and that's the way it always is. He was fired up. Raanta was very disappointed. He felt like I felt like I was at the top of the crease. Like, I try to be when the puck is at the point. I try to be as big as possible when the pass was going to Aho. I heard the shot, and at the same time, my mask is on my nose. So it's really tough to see the puck after that. The puck went in, and at first, I was thinking it was our own D-man because they were there. And I don't know what the rule is. If I can't be on top of my crease, should I be on the goal line? What should I do there? That's the full quote from Antti Raanta on the goal. Credit Steve Zappe, looking at his tweets from Twitter. So the Rangers would give up another power play goal to Sebastian Aho, giving him 2 goals in the game, 20 on the season. Very impressive looking young kid. Rangers would get some chances, but Cam Ward was there to stop it. Not enough from the Rangers to come back and tie the game. Derek Stepan hit the post. Yeah, but poor Derek Stepan. He's having some slump. It was 22 games now, I believe, he's without a goal. And he's getting his chances. He had a little over 7 shots on goal last night. We'll get into the Rangers scoring slump in a minute. So they're a lot of injuries that this team is facing right now. And a lot of them are key players. So if we take a moment and look at the players that are out of the lineup right now, I'm pulling up my injured list. And there's one player that I don't even have listed. You have Dan Girardi, Kevin Klein, Jesper Fast, Henrik Lundqvist, Rick Nash, and Michael Grabner. 6 players are out of the lineup due to injury. Now, Fast was out to 10 to 14 days. Klein's still considered day-to-day, but he's been out for a while. Grabner is getting closer to coming back. So they're getting a little bit healthy. I mean, Nash is day-to-day with a lower body injury. I wonder if it's that groin again. But kept him out a couple games earlier this season. That'll be interesting. Lundqvist tweaked his he has a lower body injury, that he tweaked it during the game in Florida. So the Rangers injuries are getting starting to pile up a little bit. So now if you look at, let's look at the Steve Kampfer and Tanner Glass recall, because at the time everyone, you know, we're not happy about it. And you kind of had the feeling when you wake up and you see the tweet from the Rangers that Tanner Glass is back. And then you go on Twitter and the Twitter world is falling apart. Kind of have a feeling that Tanner Glass was going to do good things for this team. Because in the preseason, he had a good preseason. And he brings so much more to this team than just the physical presence. And if you look at the game against Montreal, where they were absolutely outmuscled. They needed someone like Glass to come up and bring energy, because they just weren't bringing energy on a nightly basis. And Tanner Glass brings energy on a nightly basis. Steve Kampfer came in from the struggling Adam Clendenning, and he's played well. Everyone knows I'm not the biggest Clendenning fan. He had a rough game against Montreal. He was -3. Clendenning was clearly not happy that he was out of the lineup, but Kampfer's a veteran who did not make the team a few years ago because they needed a spot for Anthony Duclair. Kampfer and Shea have played well. So has Shea and Clendenning. So it's a tough battle to see who goes where. But I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine. So let's look at the struggling offense. Prior to the game in Florida, the Rangers scored 2 goals or fewer in 9 of their last 10 games. So 9 of their last 12 games, they've scored 2 goals or fewer. Derek Stepan has a 22-game goalless streak. Kevin Hayes broke his 10-game goalless streak, and he only had 1 point in his last 10 game. Mika Zibanejad finally has gotten his game back together. They had scored prior to last night, actually prior to Tuesday night, 18 games in their 18 goals in their last 10. They're at now 26 goals in their last 12, so they're getting better. But one of the major reasons that the struggles have been coming is their play from the middle. Their center icemen. Haven't seen much from them. Where'd they go? Well, Hayes have been, and that kind of has a big part to what allowed for that stretch of 18 goals in 10 games. And of the stretch of 9 of their last 10 scoring 2 goals or fewer. had a big reason to it. I think Stepan's getting closer and closer to turning it around. He hit the post. He hit a post last night. 7 shots on net. Quality scoring chances. Hayes is getting better. He had a breakaway last night. He had his first goal, like I said, in 10 games against Florida. Zibanejad seems to have broken out of it. Prior to last night, his last 2 goals were game-winning goals. He has 4 goals in about 3 weeks now. So he's starting to produce more. Zibanejad battled a lot of injuries this year. Stepan, and here's the thing that I like about these Rangers centers, going off of that Stepan point I was about to make. Even with their scoring slump, they still play in key parts of the game. And they don't let their offensive struggles get to them. Derek Stepan kills penalties. Kevin Hayes kills penalties. Mika Zibanejad kills penalties. Stepan, Hayes, and Zibanejad see time on the power play. Now, obviously, when you have 2 centers struggling to score goals, your power play that has 2 centers on it is going to be struggling. Derek Stepan's last goal came against the Dallas Stars. And in that game, he scored 2 goals and a 7-6 loss to the Stars on January 17th at the Garden. So that's how long it's been since we've seen a goal from Derek Stepan. But I think he's getting close. I think he will put one in the back of the net soon. If not in the Rangers' next game, then probably the game after that, because I really like what I've seen from him over the last few games. So let's take a look at the playoff picture. We are getting very, very, very close to that. The Rangers are currently sit at 43-23-2, getting some overtime games in there now. They currently have 88 points. So we're just pulling up the rest of the standings really quick. Rangers have 14 games remaining, so about 2 weeks worth of games if you count every night. Washington currently leads the league with 95 points. If the season ends today, they'll be facing the New York Islanders, who have found themselves back in a playoff spot. They have a 1-point lead over the Toronto Maple Leafs. So if you really look at this, 5 out of the 8 teams in the playoff picture right now in the Eastern Conference come from the Metropolitan Division. Columbus and Pittsburgh are tied for second in the Metro with 90 points. If the season ended today, Columbus will be the home team because they have the tiebreaker. They have more row wins than Pittsburgh does. They have 40 row, and the Penguins have 39. Going now into the Atlantic, the Rangers and Montreal Canadiens would be playing, facing off. Both teams have 14 games remaining. Montreal has 84 points. Rangers have 88 points. But according to this new system, Montreal is the home team. Then Ottawa will be facing Boston. And then that's how the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference looks. Let's go to the Western Conference. Minnesota leads the West with 90 points. They have a game in hand of Chicago, so who's right behind them with 89, so the West is kind of wide open. Calgary's right there, who has won a season-high 8-game winning streak to put themselves back in the playoffs. 8 games ago, they were out of the picture. Now they are the second wild card spot, pretty comfortably too, to say the least. 7-point lead over St. Louis. Then you have Chicago, Nashville facing off with each other. That spot's wide open as well. San Jose would face St. Louis. I'm sorry, I got those numbers mixed up. Minnesota faces St. Louis. San Jose faces Calgary. So to fix that up, Minnesota versus St. Louis, then it would be Chicago, Nashville, San Jose, Calgary, and then Anaheim and Edmonton. Anaheim, the home team, because they have 2 more points over the Oilers. The Kings are a point out of the playoff picture. So let's take a look at the Rangers' upcoming schedule. It's a very weird one this month. A lot of back-to-backs upcoming. So they head home Monday. They go to the Joe on Sunday for the final time in the Joe's history. Joe Louis Arena, this is the last time the Rangers will be going there. It's a game that will be on NBC Sportsnet on Sunday. Then a back-to-back against the Lightning at home. Then they have 3 days off and another set of back-to-backs against Florida and Minnesota. The first back-to-back against Florida is at the Garden. Then they head on the road to Minnesota to face the Wild. Then they have 2 days off, and they travel to New Jersey, face the Devils for the final time this season. Then the Islanders come to visit the next day for the final day of, for the final day this season. Then they have two more days off and another set of back-to-backs against in Los Angeles and in Anaheim. Then a day off, then in San Jose, and that's your West Coast road trip. Come back 2 days off, come back home, face Pittsburgh on March 31st. And then we're in April. And the final stretch of the regular season after March 31st, there's four games, two at home, two on the road, one against Philadelphia, Washington, Ottawa, and they end the season on April 9th against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then the Stanley Cup playoffs will start. Fun ride upcoming, folks. Expect this to be a very interesting road to the Cup, to the playoffs. A lot of ups and downs, as we know. It'd be nice to get this team healthy, see what they can do healthy. Force Alain Vigneault to make some interesting decisions with his his defenseman, who goes where. It's going to be interesting to see when Grabner and Foss come back, what he does with Tanner Glass. I wonder if Glass just becomes a healthy scratch and is there, or you wonder if Glass will end up seeing time for Jimmy Vesey or Pavel Buchnevich or Oscar Lindbergh. So that will do it for this week's edition of the NYR Zone podcast. Once again, thank you as always for listening. Enjoy your week for those college students who are going on spring break. Enjoy your spring break. Have a lot of fun. Not too much fun where you get in trouble, but enjoy it. Go Rangers. We will see you all next week.